her in prayer, the Jen's mother. She is going to have some cancer, I guess, in her stomach, and she is in Shanghai at a hospital there. And our time tonight, their time there Monday morning, she's going to be, they're going to examine her and find out where the cancer is and what can be done about it. So some surgery may be required. So we do want to remember her in our prayers. I would like to remind you that we are studying this year, Christ will build His church. That's our theme for this year. Christ will build His church. And so we've been going through the seven churches in Revelation and then the churches in the book of Acts. And so we come today to Acts chapter 17 on Paul's second missionary journey. And we read these words here in verse 11. For they received the message with great eagerness and examined the Scriptures every day. And we could call this church then the Bible church. Now let's open with prayer as we begin. Father, we come before You in prayer today. We pray for thee, Jen's mother. We pray especially Your hand be upon her. As this evening our time and Monday morning their time in Shanghai, they will be operating on her and finding how extensive the cancer may be in her stomach area. And so we pray that You would heal her, that You put Your hand upon her, give the doctors wisdom, and also comfort her and give her hope, we pray. We also pray for Mike Jared and for Tim Siebold and Sister Lily Lynn, these who also, we pray Your hands be upon them and their physical infirmities. Lord, we thank You. We ask that You would speak through Your servant. Pray for the anointing of Your Spirit. Pray that our eyes would be open, our hearts would be open, our ears would be open. And Lord, that You would teach us that which You would have us to know this day and help us to apply it to our lives. And Lord, we give You thanks. We give You praise. You are worthy. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've been looking here at the book of Acts. And the book of Acts reminded of the fact that the Great Commission, that they were to start in Jerusalem, and then Judea and Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. And so we see that in the missionary journeys of Paul. And we're looking here at the second missionary journey of Paul. And so today we come to Berea. As you look at the map here, where you see the city of Berea there. And Berea, a little bit of a background, was in Macedonia, that province there of Macedonia, about 45 miles from Thessalonica, the last time we looked at that church. And now the Berean Jews were more noble character than those in Thessalonica. And we will take a look at why that was so. The Berean church was founded by Paul. As soon as it was night, the believers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. And on arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue, as many times they did this in the cities, first going to the Jewish synagogue, a place where they could speak and tell of the Messiah, of Jesus Christ. And so this Berean church represents a Bible church. And it's very interesting that Berea means a place of many waters. A place of many waters. It reminds me of the verse Ephesians 5:26, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the Word of God. And so a place of many waters, reminded that the Word of God, as we read and study the Word of God, it's like the waters that are cleansing and purifying our hearts, a place of many waters. And so we're going to be comparing these two churches. As you know, I've been a teacher for 33 years. I'm so happy to have a whiteboard to write on. This is great. If I were to draw for you this here, representing these two churches, as we would compare these two churches here, And think about these two churches, the church at Thessalonica and the church here at Berea. As we look at these two churches and compare these two churches. Now, many churches have a sign in front of the church, and that can be very nice. A sign often tells, first of all, the name of the church, so people passing by can know the name of the church. Oftentimes, it will give this time of the services, so it's kind of a welcome to a community, so you can know when this services are held. Some churches have a verse on there, or maybe tell special meetings, or another message may be on there. I remember our church in Taiwan, started there in Taiwan, as we were there 9 years. And we had a church sign in front of the church. And also on the other sign, we had two verses. John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." It was interesting because there were so many in that community, that was the only church, even to this day. 33 years later, it's the only church in that area, that village of over 20, 30,000 people. But nearby were many soldiers. And as they would march and do their drills and march up the street during early in the morning, it was interesting, they would turn their heads and read the sign. It was a way of giving the gospel, a way of letting them know that Jesus is the way. There's no other name. Also in Acts 4:12, we had that verse up there. And so this was a way to let them know. And so they would see the sign. If we compare these two churches here today, it says here that the church at Berea was a more noble character. And so we can understand a little bit of that. I'm going to show you this church sign. There has been a church that is called Thessalonica. And so they put on their church sign these words, "For the last time, we do love the Scriptures. We do read the Scriptures every day. Now will you see us as noble people?" And then I'm reminded of the sign of another church. It was called, even today, Berea. And so this church had these words, "The few, the proud, the noble." It's kind of like the Marines. And I had a roommate in college. He had been in the Marines. He told me many stories about Paris Island, about basic training in the Marines, and how strong that discipline was. And I think about these two churches. The church at Thessalonica, it loved, remember we talked about this was the preaching church, it loved to hear preaching. Last week we had special meetings, and we have special meetings in the fall and the spring, and we love that time when we can hear and five messages right in a row, and we hear that preaching. And we love that. But here he says that those at Berea were more noble. Here you have the army, like the army of God, here you have the Marines. They have the discipline to get into the Word of God daily. And so as we look at this today, think about this. First of all, we see here, what made them more noble? They received the Bible. Yes, they were a Bible church. They received the Bible. For they received the message with great eagerness. We're reminded of Revelation 2:17. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Are we eager to hear God's Spirit speaking to our hearts? And there are five kinds of listeners we can see here. What kind are we? I'm also reminded of the fact that this is where the battle takes place, the Word of God. If you look in your Bibles, turn quickly to the first book in the Bible, Genesis chapter 3. I'm reminded how God created man. He put him in the Garden of Eden. And there at the Garden of Eden, chapter 3, we see the first spiritual battle take place. And Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" So we see how Satan, the devil, comes questioning God's Word. If he cannot keep us from reading God's Word, or if he can cause us to doubt or question God's Word, here's where the battle takes place. The battle for the Bible. And so we see the first thing is to receive the Word of God. What kind of a listener are you? The first type of those who listen with closed ears. They don't want to hear. They close their ears. We see this taking place even in our day. They're not eager to hear. And so here's a warning to them. For this people's heart has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn, and I will heal them. So there's a problem with our ears that we need to be aware of. Those who will not hear. And then there are those who may be here, but they're looking for something that will tickle their ears. Tickle their ears? Look with me at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse... 2 Timothy 4 and verse 3. All right? 2 Timothy 4. And we see this verse 3 says, "For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear." Rather than to listen to sound or healthy doctrine or teaching from the Bible, they want something that will itch their itching ears. They want to hear something that they want to hear. Now, we're reminded of the fact, of course, that we do have two ears and one mouth. And so you can listen twice as much as you speak. We're reminded that sometimes we're so quick to speak. But God give us two ears and one mouth. There's a message in that God wants us to hear twice as much as we speak. And so we're to have open ears. And then the second type of a listener we see here is those who listen to gain knowledge. Fill up my tank. I want all the knowledge. They are listeners who are eager to hear for the wrong reason. So here's a warning to them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 8, verses 1 to 3. "But knowledge puffs up, while love builds up. And those who think they know something do not know as they ought to know. But whoever loves God is known by God." I don't know if you've ever seen this fish here. It goes by several names. Some call it a balloon fish, or a blowfish, or puff fish. A puffer, if you would. This fish is a small fish, but it puffs it up with air. And so it appears to be a large fish. And I think of this as those who puff themselves up with knowledge. Who may know Bible trivia. They can answer the questions. They can puff themselves up with knowledge. But that's not the purpose of listening, to gain knowledge. It's not how much we know, but how much we apply. And so we need to be aware of this. This verse reminds us very, very well that knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. All right? And so the Word of God ought to build us up, not puff us up. We should not brag at what we know, but the one we know, and allow Him to build us up through His Word. And then the other type of listener we see here, number 3, this is the one who listens to learn. They are the learners who take notes, ask questions. They're eager to learn. Now, there's a warning here also. 2 Timothy 3:7. Always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. These words were given to at that time to those who were learning, which is we ought to be lifelong learners. We ought to come with a teachable spirit. I want to learn. I don't know it all. I want to know. I want to learn. Teach me, Lord. That's the spirit we need to come. And then we want to know the knowledge of the truth. The other type of learner we see here, the listener, is one who listens to obey. To listen to obey. They're not only listeners, but also what? Doers. They are more eager to hear because they want to, how can this help me to live? And so there's also a warning here we see in James chapter 1. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself and goes away, immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. And so we're reminded here that this Word of God, this is a mirror. Probably every morning, I would say probably most everyone here, every morning you look in that mirror. You look in that mirror and see what needs to be fixed, whether it be your hair or your face or whatever. Whatever needs to be fixed, you look at that mirror intently. And so the spiritual mirror that we can look into that will show us who we are. What God would you have to fix in my life and my attitude and my thoughts? That mirror is called the Word of God. We look intently into the mirror to see what God is speaking to our hearts about. And so that is means to listen, to obey. And then the fifth type, those who listen to teach. They want to share with others the truths that God has taught them. Listen to teach with great eagerness to hear. They have great eagerness to hear. But there's also a warning here in James 3:1. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. Whatever you've heard or received or heard from me, whatever you learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Philippians 4:9. It's good that we share. We ought to share what we learn, what God is teaching us. We ought to share with others. And so that's what it means to be a listener. To hear God's Word. This is what it means to hear God's Word. But they not only heard God's Word, but we see also that they studied the Bible. They studied the Bible. They examined the Scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. They examined the Word of God. They had the habit of reading their Bible daily. Read it daily. Do you have a plan for reading your Bible? Do you also, this is very important, do we also allow the Bible to read you or to read me? What does that mean? As I'm reading the Bible, and I ought to have a plan, whatever that plan might be. Maybe you're a seeker, and you might start in the Gospels, or the Gospel of Luke or the Gospel of John. You start there as a seeker. Maybe you are a young believer, and you start off in the Gospels or in the Epistles or whatever. Maybe you're reading through the New Testament. You're reading through the Old Testament. You're reading through the whole Bible. You're reading through topics. We have to read the Bible daily. And as we read it, the important thing is we let the Bible read us. Let the Bible speak to our hearts. That's the important thing. Now here's a rebuke. Number one, Jesus said unto them, "Have you never read in the Scriptures? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it's marvelous in our eyes." Have you not read the Scriptures? And these were the leaders, the religious leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Have you not read the Scriptures? Do you not know what the Bible says? And then allowing that word to read our hearts. And then they searched it completely. Do you search for treasures? Do you also allow God to search your heart? So we search the Word of God, looking for nuggets of truth, looking for truths that God would give to us for that day. And we're going to share how you can apply that. But we're looking for, what does God have for me today as I look into His Word? And so I search it. And I search it. But there's also a rebuke here, number two. If you look for it as for silver, and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Have you ever lost anything? And you search, look everywhere, get the flashlight out. You're searching diligently to find it. We search diligently in the Word of God. We come to a question. We look it up. We look up the Word and we search diligently. And then they tells us, number three, that they studied it diligently. Do you study diligently your Bible? Do you allow God's Word also to study you and to study me? Here's a third rebuke. You study the Scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very Scriptures that testify about me. Jesus said to those leaders, those religious leaders, you studied it diligently, but do you not see what the Bible says about Jesus, about the Messiah? And we handle it carefully. Reminded of this, do you rightly divide the Word of truth? Handling the Word of God carefully. Do you also allow God's truth to discern my heart? And here's rebuke number four we see here. As we handle it carefully, it tells us here, do you do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the Word of truth. All right? So we're not just looking for something that randomly, I open my Bible and just randomly see where my page would fall upon, and I randomly circle my finger, and then I randomly read a verse here. That could be very dangerous. One person did that one time and came to the verse, Judas killed himself. Well, I don't know about that. So I randomly turned to another verse, put their finger down, go thou and do thy likewise. No, we don't do that. We don't read randomly. That's not how we look diligently and handle the Word of God carefully. But we read it. We have a plan for reading it. You might use a Bible dictionary to help you understand some of the words you're not sure of. You use a concordance. You come across what does the Bible say about faith? What does the Bible say about hope, peace, and so forth? So you can look it up in a concordance. And so they handled it carefully. And then number five, they also applied it correctly. To apply the Word of God correctly. Do I apply God's Word to my life? Do I allow God's Spirit to apply it correctly? And here is the fifth rebuke here that we need to consider. It tells us here in 2 Timothy 2, Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is alive and active. It's living It's active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of our soul and our spirit, our joints and our marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And so as we apply it, it applies to every area of our life, our thoughts, our attitudes, our actions, our behavior. It applies to every area. Now let me suggest one method for studying the Word of God is that you keep a journal. I write down in my journal and give you some ideas here. A journal is, you know, could be just a notebook. But it helps us to be accountable. It helps us to consider what we're reading. And here's a method you might try. Call this the SOAP study method. The SOAP study method. All right? So, S stands for Scripture. And so you ask the question here as you look at this, the Scripture you're reading. Write out one verse that was meaningful to you. Write that out in your journal, your notebook. Write that as you read. One verse that was meaningful to you. One verse that God gave you, maybe spoke to your heart, gave you a promise as you're reading through that chapter. One verse. Write that out. Soap. Letting the Word like soap and water to cleanse our heart. And then, observation. What was interesting in this passage? What did you learn? But more importantly, what was God saying to you? What is God saying to you from this verse? Not just, again, knowledge, but what is God speaking to my heart about here? So, observation. And then A, application. How can you apply this Scripture to your life? How will you let it change you this week? How can I use that today? How can I use that? How can I apply that to my life? So, S, O, A, and then P is a prayer. And that's to respond to God in prayer. Use the Scripture as a guide. That verse that God has spoken to you, and you, as you apply it, as you observe it and apply it, then ask God to help you to meditate and apply this Scripture to your life. Turn it into a prayer. We're to be the salt and the light to the world. All right? So maybe that was a verse I wrote down. And then I apply that. How can I be a salt and light? And I turn that into prayer. Lord, today, as I go to work, as I go to school, wherever I go today, help me to be a salt and a light in this world. So you take that and make it a prayer. Soap. The Word of God. It washes. It cleanses us. It's like soap to our spirit, to our soul. And so this is a good reminder of what that means, that we might use the Word of God just like this soap. And then the next thing is that we need to receive the Bible. We need to study the Bible. And number three, we need to believe the Bible. And as a result, many of them believed. And as did also a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. Men and women, prominent or ordinary, we need to believe the Word of God. What does that mean? I believe the Bible is inspired. What is your belief about biblical inspiration? So here's a doctrine. We're reminded in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is God-breathed. This is no ordinary book. This is not, it's written by the God Spirit. It's given to us by God, His Spirit. It's inspired of God. 2 Peter 1:21, for prophecy never had its origin in the human will. But prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit moved upon these authors to write these 66 books we find in the Bible. Yes, they had their own backgrounds. Yes, they had their own abilities. But God's Spirit moved upon them to write the Word of God. It is inspired of God. We believe that it's inspired of God. And then secondly, we believe the Bible is inerrant. So what is your belief about Bible inerrancy? Doctrine number two, every Word of God is flawless. Do not add to His words, or He will rebuke you and prove you a liar. God's Word is without error. If we compare Scripture with Scripture, you may have questions. You look, compare Scripture with Scripture, you see it's one. It's without error. It's inspired of God. And so, this is what we need to believe about the Bible. And then number three, we believe the Bible is also relevant. What is your belief about Bible relevancy? Here's doctrine number three. And it is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We're reminded that the Bible is still relevant for today, even more relevant than our newspapers that we would read. You know, the Bible, it was relevant hundreds of years ago. It's relevant today. It can be, help me today to know. I find the answers to my problems. I find the answers to my questions today in the Bible. It's relevant. And then believe the Bible is true. It is true. What is your belief about biblical truth? Doctrine number four. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Here is God's truth. We're living in a day where people reject absolutes. It's relative. Everything's relative. Whatever you think, whatever your opinion is, God's truth is absolute. You may not agree with my opinion, that's fine. But God's truth is absolute. What does God say? It's absolute. It's truth. And then number five, believing that the Bible is eternal. And what is your belief about this? The Bible is eternal. Doctrine number five, your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. It changes not. It is eternal, the eternal Word of God. And so, it's important that we listen to God's Word. It's important that we study God's Word. It's also important what we believe about the Bible. And if we believe this about the Bible, then this book is a precious Word to us. It comes as God's love letter to us, as God's very words to us. And then we see number four, that they preached the Bible. And then when the Jews in Thessalonica learned that Paul was preaching the Word of God at Berea, some of them went there too, agitating the crowd, stirring them up. And those who had been scattered preached the Word wherever they went. And so we take the Word of God, what God teaches us in the Word, and we do share it with others as God gives us the opportunity to do so. And then number five, we preach the Word, we also teach the Word. The believers immediately sent Paul to the coast, but Silas and Timothy stayed at Berea. And those who were escorted Paul brought him to Athens and then left with the instructions for Silas and Timothy to join him as soon as possible. Here, God gives to the church teachers who would teach the Word of God. And we're reminded of this in teaching the Word of God. First, that the teachers teach. The Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach. Able to teach with patience. Able to teach with kindness the Word of God. And the elders and the pastors also teach. You see, an overseer is to be above reproach, able to teach. And they're called pastor teachers. And so, We need to consider this. What part does the Bible have in our lives? Why were those in Berea more noble? Because they received, they studied, they believed, they preached and taught the Bible. And then we need to ask ourselves, are you, am I a Bible Christian? What is my guide? Are we a Bible church? What part does the Bible have in our daily life? What part does the Bible have in our church? Now, I want you to tell you a true story. Maybe some of you have seen this video. It's a very short video. I want to just let you see this. It's a true story of those who were several years ago in the countryside of China. And they were given, someone had brought a shipment of Bibles to them. And they had no Bibles. And I want you to, as you think about this story, I want you just to watch this and think about it. It's just a short video clip, about 1 minute. This, my heart is moved. What does this Bible mean to me as a Christian? Do I let it sit all week long and just gather dust? Or do I open it every day? How precious is this to me? The Bible, the word of words from God to me, to us as believers, to us as seekers, to us as a church. How much does this Bible mean to us? And my heart is moved when I see this video. They didn't have a Bible. They took it. They kissed it. They opened it. This is what we need. This is what we want. What does the Bible mean to us? Let's close in prayer. Father, we come to you in prayer. We thank you that you have given us your word, the very words of God. That this Bible is inspired, it's inerrant, that it's truth, it's absolute, it's eternal. It's relevant, it gives us all the answers that we need to live. It answers our questions, it answers our problems. And Father, may the Spirit of God speak to our hearts now. What does this Bible mean to me? Do I daily open it? Do I have the discipline? Do I have that noble character that I want God's Word to wash and like soap to cleanse my heart? And do I seek that Word every day? Am I a Bible Christian? Are we a Bible church? Father, speak to our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.